And I want us now to turn our attention to the Scriptures and see what the Bible has to say about a subject that I believe has application and is of interest to each and every one of us, from the oldest of us all the way down to the youngest of us. I believe that we can understand what the Bible has to say about lying. We'll see what the Scriptures have to say about this subject this morning. Lying, unfortunately, has become commonplace in our society today, but it's always been that way. That's not anything new that we've had to deal with. We have come to expect it from certain individuals in certain circumstances, and we even guard ourselves against lying in different circumstances in our daily lives. Different people have different views about lying. Although I believe it's still a universally held belief that lying is wrong, there are many people who tell lies. And there are people who give various ways of justifying their lying in order to continue this practice. What about the Christian? What are you and I to do in this world where lying takes place and it's an easy sin to commit, doesn't cost a dime? It's so easy to do. What should our view be towards the sin of lying or the subject of lying? And more important, what does the Bible say about it? What does the Bible say about this subject? So we're going to spend a few moments this morning looking at what the Bible has to say about lying. We're going to look at the truth about lying. Let's start off by making sure we understand what we're talking about. What is a lie? I open up my English dictionary and I read that a lie is to make a statement that one knows is false, especially with intent to deceive. Now, that's an important distinction there because you and I can repeat things that are false that we don't take the time to look into, or maybe we've been deceived ourselves. But to lie is to purposely tell something that we know is false in an effort to deceive someone else. I appreciate the definition that is found in the New Unger's Bible Dictionary about the way this word is used in the Bible. It says, in Scripture, the word is used to designate all the ways in which men deny or alter the truth in word or in deed. Doesn't leave a lot of room there for loopholes, does it? All the ways that we can deny or even alter the truth in the spoken word or even in our actions. So that's how broad this definition of lying needs to be. The Bible teaches that all lying is wrong. The Bible teaches that all lying is sinful. In the Ten Commandments, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. The Israelite was forbidden from telling lies. You take that and you go all the way to the end of the Bible in Revelation chapter 21 and at verse 8. All liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So the Bible teaches that all lying is wrong. But in spite of that, in spite of what the Scriptures have to say about lying, a question can still be heard. Is it always wrong to lie? Can it ever be okay to tell a lie? Well, would God ever just turn his head away from that and allow, would there ever be a time where God would allow us to tell a lie? Is it always wrong to do? Now, this is a favorite question of those who like to debate ethics and enjoy doing that. As Christians, we shouldn't get involved in that. We should stand firmly where God's word is and not try to muddy the waters on any Bible subject at all. We know what the Bible says about lying, but is there ever a circumstance in which it would be all right or acceptable to tell a lie? Some people insist that lying is okay in order to spare someone's feelings. How do you like that sweater I got you as a gift? Oh, yeah, I like it. Or maybe the husband would ask the wife, how do you like that iron I got you for Christmas? Oh yes, that's just what I was wanting. How do these clothes look on me? There's a loaded question sometimes, right? Is it ever okay to tell a lie to spare someone's feelings or maybe to save someone's life? Would it be okay to lie? Or if you find yourself where you're in trouble, maybe at school you get caught with something and the first impulse is to tell a lie to get out of being in trouble. Is that okay? Would God be okay with that? There are some people that want to make a distinction between a bold face, obvious lie, and a white lie. Oh, white lies are lies that don't hurt anybody, and that's okay. Well, a white lie is still a lie. Or how about, I was just telling a story. I was telling a story, and everybody ought to understand that that's okay, or we'll just call it a fib. And if we can call it something other than a lie, then it will be okay. No, changing the name of the sin doesn't change the fact that it is a sin. If I've got a jar of poison and I put a Kool-Aid wrapper on it, does it suddenly turn into Kool-Aid? No. It's still poison and it's still lethal if you drink it. A lie is still a lie. It doesn't matter what you call it. There are even some religious leaders who have gone on record to insist that it's okay for a person to lie in order to protect the church. Can you even get your mind wrapped around that? It's okay to lie to protect the church, to protect the reputation of the church, the teaching of the church, the practices of the church. That doesn't even make bad sense. Let alone good sense. You know, someone might start reading the Bible and they're going to find pretty quickly that there were some prominent people in the Bible who told lies. Abraham is called the friend of God. Is there anyone in the Bible that had a stronger faith than Abraham? And yet Abraham lied twice. He told the same lie on two different occasions. He lied about Sarah being his wife. He lied to Pharaoh, and then he lied to Abimelech. And yet, he's the friend of God. Sarah is held up alongside Abraham as one of the faithful in Hebrews chapter 11. Sarah went along with those lies. And Sarah even lied herself in Genesis chapter 18 about laughing when she heard that she was going to have a child. Well, she lied, said no. No, she didn't do that. Their son Isaac lied. Do you know what he lied about? He lied about Rebekah being his wife. I wonder where he got the idea for that lie from. He got it from his father, no doubt. And he even lied to the same person that his father lied, Abimelech. Repeated that same lie to the same person, or at least a person in that same position. His son Jacob lied to him. He passed himself off as his older brother Esau in order to receive the inheritance and the blessing of the firstborn. Not only that, Jacob, when he lies to his father in Genesis chapter 27, he brings God into the lie. How did you get that animal so quickly? Oh, God blessed me with that animal. He was so bold as to bring God into his lie. Rahab lied to protect the spies. We know of that in Joshua chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. But she's a Gentile. She's a woman of ill repute. But she's found in the New Testament as an example of faith. She has her own verse in Hebrews chapter 11, and in James chapter 2, she's used alongside Abraham as an example of working faith. She's best known for a lie. David, the man after God's own heart, lied to Abimelech in 1 Samuel chapter 21 and at verse 2. And Peter, the most notorious thing that Peter did in denying the Lord three times, in essence, he lied. He lied three times. No, I don't know Jesus. I don't know that man. If lying is always wrong, then how did these people get away with it? If lying is always wrong, then how is it that these people who are held up to us as godly people, as people whose example we are to follow, how is it that lying can be wrong when they did this? I want you to think about this. When the Bible talks about these individuals telling lies, the Bible is not endorsing the practice of lying, and the Bible is not saying that God accepts that or that God approves of that. Instead, what the Bible is doing is saying if these people can fall into a lie, then it can happen to any of us. If it can happen to the friend of God, and if it can happen to the man that whose heart is after that of God, it can happen to any of us. The ease by which we can commit this sin, along with the abundance of arguments to be used to justify it, should impress us with the fact that the sin of lying needs to be taken seriously by us today. That's what I want us to understand and want us to appreciate. With our time that we have left, let's consider why it is that lying is wrong. Well, the Bible says not to do it. I mean, preacher, you just mentioned Exodus chapter 20 and Revelation 21. That ought to take care of it, yes? That should take care of it. But you know what God does for us in the Bible? Not only does God tell us that things are wrong, oftentimes He shows us why they are wrong. And in helping us to understand why they are wrong, that can bolster our resolve not to commit those sins and not do those things. So let's take a look at why it is wrong to lie. First, the Bible tells us that lies originate with Satan. That's where lying has come from. In John chapter 8, Jesus is speaking to the Jews who are opposing him, and they're denying that he is the Christ, and he's giving them some strong words there in John chapter 8. Well, down to verse 44, he says, "You are of your father, the devil." Can you imagine Jesus saying that about anyone? But that's what he's saying to these Jews. "You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth." You hang on to that. Satan does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Jesus says that the devil is the father of all lies. Every lie that has plagued mankind throughout human history has come from one source, Satan. The devil is not capable of honoring or respecting the truth because there's absolutely no truth in him. Lying is Satan's work coming from Satan's resources to fulfill Satan's desires. Is it ever all right for you and I to do Satan's work? No. Never. So it's never all right to tell a lie. Because lies originate with Satan. When we lie, we are doing Satan's work. But here's something else we learn from John 8, verse 44. That lies are the means that Satan used to destroy mankind. Before he says that the devil was the father of lies, he says that he was a murderer from the beginning. Satan murdered the entire human race. How did he do that? Brother White read that text for us a few moments ago, Genesis chapter 3. He did it through lies. He lied to Eve, misrepresented God, and then lied about what God really said. Just added one word, but it was a lie, and through that lie, sin entered into the world, and mankind was murdered on that day. Lies destroy mankind. Satan continues to destroy the lives of men and women and children today with lies and through lies. Is it okay for us to join him in that destructive work? No. No, we need to stay as far away from that as we can. Here's something else. Not only do lies destroy mankind, that is, bring our lives to an end, but the Bible says that lies destroy the quality of our lives while we are here. In Psalm 52, This is a psalm that is attributed to David. And it's attributed to David after he had lied to Abimelech. And then Abimelech fed him and his men some of the showbread. And there was an Edomite who was there who saw this happening and took word back to Saul. And Saul came and killed the priest. And so here's a psalm that was written from that event when David himself lied. And he's writing about this man Doeg, the Edomite. And he says, "Your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor working deceitfully." What is a lie? It's a deceit. Well, here's a lying tongue. It's like a sharp razor. "You love evil more than good, lying rather than speaking righteousness. You love all devouring words, you deceitful tongue." What does David, inspired by the Holy Spirit, say about the lying tongue? It cuts like a sharp razor. It slashes. You know, in James chapter 3, James says that the tongue is a fire. But long before that, David says the lying tongue is like a razor. It destroys, it devours all good things. Now, what do I mean by making the point from this text that lies destroy the quality of our lives? How do you feel when you discover that you've been lied to? Is that pretty good? Make you feel pretty good? No, it makes you feel used, doesn't it? It makes you feel like you've been manipulated in some way. How do you feel when you discover you've been lied about? When someone is spreading falsehoods about you, when someone is lying, slandering you, that destroys your life. How do you feel about the person who does that? Not just to you, but to somebody else. If a person is caught in a lie, isn't their credibility gone? Yeah, their credibility's gone. It destroys their life. It destroys their reputation. And ultimately, it leads to more lies. Haven't we heard this teaching that if you're going to tell one lie, you're going to have to tell another one to cover up that one? One lie easily leads to another and leads to another. And if you want to carry that out, you just got to keep on lying. You know, and in doing that, you got to remember everything that you said. Easiest thing to do in life is just tell the truth. If you tell the truth, you don't have to remember what you said. You don't have to keep track of all your lies and what you told to what person. Just tell the truth. But no, lies destroy the quality of man's life. That's what David says. That's what he observed in Psalm 52. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and at verse 10, the Apostle Peter looks at the other direction of this. He looks at it from the positive. He's quoting from the Old Testament here. Peter says, "For he who would love life and see good days," if you want to live a life that you can love, if you want to live a life and you look back on it and say, "Those have been good days, that has been a good life," then here's some things you need to do. And it starts with your mouth. It starts with your words. "Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit." It's that simple. You want to live a good life? You want to have a life that you can enjoy and a life that will be a blessing to all others? Tell the truth. Don't tell lies. Don't be involved in telling lies. Lies destroy the quality of our lives. Albert Barnes has this to say about 1 Peter 3, verse 10. He says, "The way to avoid the hostility of other people and to secure their favor and friendship is to deal with them in truth." It's very simple. But that's the way most things are from the Scripture. To live a good life, follow some simple common sense rules. Tell the truth. Don't tell lies. Lies destroy the quality of life. Why should you and I ever be involved in that? It's never okay to do that. It's never okay to lie. Fourth, the Bible teaches that lies oppose the identity and the work of Christ. Quickly, in John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus is the embodiment of truth. His entire life embodied truth. Why did Jesus come to this earth? Well, there are different things Jesus accomplished. But in John chapter 18, when he's brought before Pilate, and the question comes up about whether or not he is a king, Jesus has this to say. Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Why did Jesus come? Jesus came to bear witness of the truth. He's the embodiment of the truth. And that truth that Jesus tells is the only thing that can set us free from our sins. Back to John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Lies oppose the identity and the work of Jesus Christ. How can it ever be okay to tell a lie? It's never okay to lie. It's never right for us to lie. And then finally, we go back to the Old Testament. In Proverbs chapter 6, we see that God hates lying. This passage is too long for us to put up on this slide, so I want to read it to you. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. "These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him." Says six and then seven. Where's that coming from? Well, that's the style of Hebrew poetry. That would have been very attractive to the Hebrew ears. Six, and then we're going to add one more too. But what's being listed here are things that God hates. And look at the list. A proud look. A lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. Which one is listed twice? Lies. Here's a list of things that God hates, and that should be important to us. Think about this. Think about this. Whenever a young man meets a young woman and they begin to spend some time with each other and those little hearts begin to show up as they're spending time with each other, that they're learning about each other. And that young man, if he's smart, when he finds out that that young lady, that there's something that she doesn't like, he's going to stay away from that, isn't he? What was that song that Jim Stafford did, "I Don't Like Spiders and Snakes"? I mean, if somebody doesn't like something and you're wanting to impress that person, you're not going to drag in things that they don't like. We want to be right with God. We want God to be pleased with us. So we'd better pay attention to a list like this. These are some things we'd better stay far away from, and lying is mentioned twice. You think that's by accident? No, God hates lying. Lying is contrary to God's holy nature. Twice in the New Testament, Titus 1 verse 2, in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18 says that it is impossible for God to lie. God cannot lie. It violates his very nature, so there's no way that God would allow lying in his presence. No, it's never okay to lie. And not only that, but as we pointed out in Revelation 21 and at verse 8, God has promised to punish all liars and in eternal hell. Not just the bad liars, not just the bold-faced liars, all liars, that includes those who tell the white lies, and those who tell the fibs, and those who tell the stories. All liars will be in the lake of fire. God hates lying. So, is it ever okay to tell a lie? No. The Bible says repeatedly, no, it is not. Lies abound in our world. It's an easy sin to commit. And the arguments that are used to justify it can only complicate matters for even the strongest of Christians. We have to remember that lying is a sin and that it's never right to tell a lie. And the fact that good people in the Bible told lies doesn't mean that it's okay with God, but it serves as a sober warning against the subtlety of this sin. Lying, as we have seen, is the work of Satan. It opposes the truth. It opposes the nature of God, the work of Christ, and everything that is good for mankind. God hates lying, and all liars will be punished in eternal hell. Instead, what you and I need to leave here with this morning is a renewed understanding, appreciation, and determination that we will put away all lying, and we will only speak the truth. Put away all lying. Whether it's something that you're in the habit of doing, it comes habitually to you, or it's something that you hang on to as an escape hatch. I'd never lie unless I got in a tight spot, and then I'd lie, but I'd ask God to forgive me afterwards. No. Put away lying, and let each of us be determined that we're only going to speak the truth. Because we're God's people, and because we're brethren. Let's speak the truth with one another. Thank you so much for your kind attention as we've studied something very basic. But sometimes these things that are basic are taken for granted, and we don't need to do that. Lying is a very important matter. If you're here and you're not yet a Christian, not yet a child of God, I want to tell you the truth. A Savior has died for you, and you can be saved through the shed blood of Jesus Christ if you will believe that Jesus is the Son of God. If you will repent of your sins, whether they be lying, whatever they are, repent, turn away from those, confess your faith in Christ, and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, and you can be saved. That's the truth of the gospel. If you've done that, but you need to make things right in a public way, if you're a struggling Christian, you need our prayers for strength. Whatever your spiritual need is, would you let it be made known by coming forward as we stand and sing this invitation song.